Our Old Testament reading today is going to be from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 12, and Levi will be reading for us this morning.
In that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel is among you. This is the word of the Lord.
We're in that time of the year where we're thinking about Thanksgiving, and but every day really should be a day of thanks. We're so thankful that we are blessed. You know, as I was sharing with John Carter and Braden, you know, we're getting near the end of the year, and the church calendar, as far as what it asks for us to be speaking on, is leading up to Jesus being returning in Christ the King. You know, it's hard to believe, but in two Sundays we'll have a chrismon tree in here. The Advent season will be beginning. It's just hard to imagine. You know, it's hard to imagine that Thanksgiving is less than 2 weeks away. You know, we have so many things on our mind, and I hope today we'll take just a moment just to give ourselves a chance to kind of punch the pause button, so to speak, to kind of realize in life what is important as we're looking to beyond this day and to what the future does hold. Now, Jesus is, as I was telling John Carter and Braden, he is making his way to Jerusalem, and he is coming up to the city, and he sees this temple, and it is huge. It is just beyond anything probably that we can imagine the size of it. We can't imagine the ornate fixtures, everything in it. You know, I can't imagine after going through trying to do restore to Hallsville Presbyterian Church. I can't imagine. It's mind-boggling that it was. But what they saw was a massive structure, and they were looking at that, and Jesus is addressing these disciples. So I'm going to begin in chapter 21 in Luke's gospel. I'm going to begin in chapter 5. I'm actually going to stop at verse 19. It says through verse 38, but I'm going to stop at verse 19 today, where it says, some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Teacher, they asked, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place? He replied, watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nations will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in various places, and fearful events, and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to the synagogues and prisons, and you'll be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in you being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair on your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. This ends the reading of God's holy, inspired word, his inerrant word. May he write his truth upon our hearts, for this is the word of the Lord. You know, as we get to the end of the year, and as we look back to last Sunday and Paul's letter to the Corinthians, I think they all kind of go hand in hand, because oftentimes we are in this thing that we call life. And we all have questions in life, and we all want to know, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus tells us that if we are a follower of him, and Paul tells us that, you know, we have this spirit that comes within us, and this fruit of the spirit includes things like love. It includes things like joy. It includes peace. It's patient. It includes kindness and goodness. It includes faithfulness. But we all know in this life we have times of difficulty. Last week in Paul's letter, we talked about how we have a treasure that is within us, that in the midst of these times, and Jesus is also telling us these times we're going to have these are going to be times of difficulty. He tells them at the end of the age there's going to be times of persecution. There's going to be division. You'd say, well, Mark, all you got to look is TV, and you can see that right now that we are divided on so many issues. But there's going to be divisions, it tells us, within even family. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be hatred. There's going to be people that will persecute you because you trust in Jesus Christ. And he says that some of you, yes, some of you will even die for my name. But yet, Jesus says that not a hair on our heads will perish. He says in verse 19, he says this. He says, by standing firm you will gain life, but not a hair on your head will perish. You know, these statements seem a little bit odd whenever you start putting them together. You know, as I think I mentioned last Sunday, and I've mentioned in the past, you know, being a pastor, oftentimes you want to always bring good news. And good news in the terms of someone being diagnosed with a illness or at a surgery, or when those things happen, we all want a good result. And I realize that I can't bring myself that to come to pass. I'm praying that it will. I'm hoping that it will. But it's really beyond my ability. But whenever we start looking at those things in light of Paul's treasure he mentioned last week, in light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, we realize that there is something beyond this time and this place. You know, what we think is oftentimes when we become a Christian, that all of a sudden every day is going to be a sunny day. Every day the wind is going to blow on our back. You know, Mr. Bobby was telling about today, he said one thing about coming up the ramp today, that wind was so strong it could just take him right up. But some days in Mr. Bobby's life and all of our lives, we all know that the wind doesn't always blow on our back. It's sometimes facing us. We get disappointed. We become discouraged. I get disappointed. I get discouraged. And sometimes if we stay in that state too long, we'll start to become bitter. And we'll start thinking, what's the use? Why? What does it make a difference? Why should I do different? Well, today, Jesus is telling us that God has a purpose for all of these things to take place. And it's going to take place because this is the way God had it all in mind. You see, God's timing is always right. You see, whenever Jesus Christ came into the world, what he did for us is he became a physical person that we could see the reality, the glory of God in a person. That's what Jesus did. And whenever he did that, he started to show us an unconditional love. Now, unconditional love is hard to come by. It really is. But I think each one of us that have been blessed with children, you know what unconditional love is, don't you? You love them despite of anything. Do they disappoint you at times? Yes. Do they hurt your feelings at times? Yes. Do they make you happy at times? Yes. Do you love them all the time? Absolutely. Absolutely. There's nothing that can separate you from that love. Now, they will make you upset, and you will say, well, what in the world did you do that for? I can't understand why you did that. But yet, you still love them, don't you? There's not a one in here that would raise their hand and say, no, I don't. I know you. You love them. That's the way God loves us. And the Spirit of God is at work within us in our relationships, in our activities that we do. The good and the bad. You see, God is at work in all of these. I want to tell you about human history. It's not finished yet. But God has got everything in store, and he is putting these places and these things to occur just as he had intended. Now, we don't understand that. We say, well, why does bad things happen? Why do earthquakes happen? Why does terrible things happen? Well, what we have to know is in verse 15 that it says that God is going to be faithful. He says, I will give you, for I will give you. Now, if God says he's going to do something, you can take it to the bank. It's a promise. He says, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or to contradict. You see, whenever you're faithful to God, God is going to give you those things that's going to help you. But he knows that we're going to be tempted. He knows that when the chips get down, that some are going to be led astray. That's the way humanity is. We're often that way. We want assurances, don't we? We want to be able to see. But yet, last week, as I shared with you from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he says those things that we look at that are temporal are those light afflictions. But when we look at it in the terms of eternity, the weight of the glory of eternity, it is just a small, small vapor. You know what Jesus is trying to tell these disciples? They're coming into Jerusalem, and he's been telling them why he's been getting there, but they really just probably still don't get it. He wants to let them know that things are going to change, and there are going to be some difficult days. You're going to even be betrayed by your parents. You know, that's really hard. I know a parent sitting in here right now, any of us as parents would say this, I would never, ever do anything to hurt my family. But Jesus says that it's going to happen. He says it's going to happen. It's not me. He says it's going to happen. I know it's hard to imagine it would, but it said that it would. It's also hard to imagine that people would despise you because you trust in Jesus Christ. You know, we live in a society that we're not persecuted for our faith. We're not persecuted for our beliefs. But there's going to come a time, it says, that men will hate you because of me. But then he says this, he says, And I don't know how Benny and I look at this, but he says this. He says, but not a hair on your head will perish. I do have a few hairs up there, so I'm glad to know that he is looking after those very few I've got. But he says there's not going to be a single hair on your head will perish. What a blessing that is. He's telling us that. He's telling these disciples, he's telling me, he's telling you that the future really is with a lot of uncertainty. You know, is there going to be another flood that's going to come into Hallsville Presbyterian Church? It's probably not a question of if, it's just a question of probably when. We would like for that not to happen, but we can't change it. Might there be another terrorist attack like we experienced on 9/11? I don't know that either. But more than likely, yes, it's probably going to happen. Do we think there's going to be a recession? You know, the stock market goes up and down like a yo-yo, doesn't it? Folks are concerned about when they see a drop. We don't know, but it's just part of the business cycle, like profits and loss. There will be downtimes, there will be recessions. We just don't know when. Now, something that hits more close to home. How about that doctor visit you're going to go see? You know, whenever you sit like there in a person that has had cancer or maybe feels that the results of those tests are going to be less than favorable, you're worried about what will that doctor's report say. What does tomorrow bring? You know, we're traveling on roads that going at speeds of excess of 55 miles an hour. Might there be an accident? You know, life is unpredictable. Life is unpredictable. It was unpredictable in New Testament times. It's unpredictable today. It's filled with uncertainty. You know, John Carter's kind of got his future kind of mapped out. He knows what he kind of would like to do. But something might change. Something might change. But Paul tells us, he told us last week that we have a treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that's within inside us. That treasure is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Remind you what he said. He said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the passing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. You see, our power, the glory doesn't come from us. We might put ourselves on a pedestal. We might put ourselves in a place of importance, but really, it is not to be from ourselves. Paul said that he was afflicted in every way, but he wasn't crushed. He was perplexed, but he wasn't despairing. He was being persecuted. You know, he had been in prison, I don't know how many times. He had been shipwrecked, I don't know how many times. In Acts, it tells us there were 40 men that vowed not to eat another mouthful till they killed him. There were people that were persecuting him, but he said he was not forsaken. He was struck down, but he wasn't destroyed, always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also be manifested in our body. You know, what he is saying is Jesus Christ died for our sins. He did something for us that we couldn't do. In the midst of these afflictions and these trials and everything, he is to be manifested. That means he's to make present. He is to be exuded in our actions and what we do. He says, but for we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. You see, there's really no reason to be pessimistic. You know, we're going to continue. This is our final study before next year in Dr. David Jeremiah's. And not the last lesson, but the lesson before that was on worry. And worry is something that I have a problem with. I'm going to be honest with you. I have a problem. I do too much of it. I'm afraid I'm an expert almost in it, and that's bad. I don't know what it is. I ask God to try to help me. You know, Dr. David Jeremiah says, well, we don't need to worry. We maybe just be concerned. I don't know. I don't know what the difference in concern and worry is. But there's no reason that I should be pessimistic. I don't know why I let myself do it. Maybe I should just say, life's unpredictable. But there's an important thing for me to realize in the midst of all this. And this is what I've got to come to grips with. This is what Paul is trying to tell us to come to grips with, is that God is with us. In our momentary light affliction, in our doubts, and in those things in life, as we look to it, maybe as we get closer to the end of life, we start to realize that God is with us. He's been with us in the good times, and he's been with us in the bad times. He is never going to ever forget about you or forsake you. He's going to tell these disciples, hey, just because you're my followers, don't expect everything to go your way. Just because you're members of the Hallsville Presbyterian Church, everything's going to go your way. No, he didn't say that. He said in verse 12, he said, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and to prisons, and you'll be brought before kings and governors, and all on the account of my name. You see, what we need to understand is that even in the midst of our difficulties, it's an opportunity for us to be a witness. You know, I've shared this with you before. You know, Elsie Lanier, and she's gone on to be with the Lord, and it's been several years. And I remember one thing about Elsie that I was younger at that time, and I was at the Beautiful Church, and is about how she continued to try to go on. And I saw that. It's an opportunity to witness, even in the midst of your difficulties. But I want you to understand that just because you have difficulties, that God is not causing these to punish you. These things are happening, and while they're happening, I want you to understand that God is with you. He is with you in that. He's always trying to help you, to comfort you, to help you. Now, whenever you realize, like Paul said, like last week, that we have this treasure that's within us, we start realizing that these afflictions, when we look at them, are temporary. And as I said last week, you might say, well, Mark, you just don't understand how bad I hurt. You don't understand what I'm going through. And I do understand that. It's hard to have words to comfort you, but what Paul says, he says, when we look at it in the light of eternity, in the eternal weight of glory that awaits us, we can get through that. That's how we make it from those days in that doctor's office when he says, the news is not good. The news is not good. I can't tell you what you want to hear. I can't treat you. I can't prescribe for you. There is nothing I can do. It might not be a doctor's office, but there's going to be those days in your life that are going to be dark. You're going to have fears. You're going to have doubts. What he's trying to tell us is wherever we find ourselves, whatever it is, he's going to be with you. We need to keep our eyes fixed, not on ourselves, but fixed on Christ's promise. He is with us in the midst of our troubles. Life is unpredictable. God is with us in the good times and the bad. He's going to be with John Carter whenever he lets him shoot that deer that walks across that path, and I'm sure he's got it mapped out. But he's also going to be with him when he stumbles and falls. He's going to be with him every step of the way. The scriptures are clear. It tells us in Romans chapter 8. It says, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Glory is tied to our suffering. And God will accomplish in us a glory that is greater a greater eternal weight than any affliction that we're suffering here. When we look at the things we're seeing, we are looking at our light afflictions. And it doesn't seem very light when we look at it in those ways a lot of times, does it? You know, I can't tell you how bad it is to see someone that you know is hurting. And you say, how can God let that occur? I don't know the answer. But I do know this, that God gave his only son and was willing to see him go through everything he went through on that path. On that path to Calvary, he was beaten. He was spit on. He was mocked. His blood was shed for an eternal way to glory. Facing the future. The title of my message today. You see, we don't always have good times. But the gospel says that he is a light in our darkness. He gives us hope in those times of despair. That's why Jesus is saying that the gospel is a cause for rejoicing for those who weep, for those who hunger, who are persecuted. You know, what would it be like when we left today, as we go back to our homes, as we go get ready to go eat, or we get ready to do the things that we have scheduled for this week, if we would look at it in a different perspective about how God is with us? You might say, Mark, I got a challenge at work. I've got to deal with an employee. It's difficult. Mark, I don't know if I'm going to have a job. I don't know if my stock market investments are going to do well. I'm having relationship problems. I'm having disappointments. I'm having all these things. But how could it change if you turned it over to God and put everything at his foot and said, I realize that this is a affliction, it's a problem, it's a setback, but I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to let you handle it because I trust you and I'm going to put my trust in you. How would it be different if you did that? How would it be different? You might say, well, Mark, I don't know how I'm going to deal with that news from the doctor. I've got stage 4 cancer. Need to get your stuff in order. Need to make all of your arrangements. How do I face that? Well, you have to know that God is at work in all of those things. That God loves you. He'll never, ever leave you. He will never let anything happen to you. But the light affliction that you're going through is small in comparison to the eternal gift of glory, weight of glory you're going to give, keeping that trust in him. Whenever you taste that, you can start to share that, and that's what Jesus wants these disciples to do, is to taste it, to ingest it, to know that, and he wants us to share it with others. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, Lord, as we come this day, we all are anxious about the future, what tomorrow holds. We need to realize that in the midst of all of our futures and all of our days, that you are in control of each and every one of them. You know each one of them, just as you know the hairs on our head. And you said that if we trust you, we put our faith in you, that you will not let anything happen to not one of them. Lord, we realize that you always keep your promises. We realize, too, at times that your way and your timing is so much different than ours. Help us to realize that you're always right, that you always love us. Put our faith and trust in Almighty God. And that's how we can understand that these difficulties, these afflictions, these light momentary problems are really temporary. They will pass, but eternity is forever. and that gift of eternity you've given us by sending Jesus Christ to be the payment for our sins, to believe in him, to trust in him, and to realize that he will never, ever leave you or forsake you, gives you an eternal weight of glory, a treasure that is kept within us once we accept you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you the glory, and we ask you to continue to strengthen us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray.